Hello and welcome back to Success Beyond. I'm so stoked to introduce you all to another incredible guest today. I am so excited to introduce you to Nada of Photo Biz Education. She's somebody that I have known of, and we've kind of known of each other for a couple of years. One of her best friends and one of my very, very good friends and previous clients is a mutual friend of ours. And we finally got the chance to meet earlier this year. And when she wanted to come onto the podcast, I knew I had to help share her story, her mission. She's an incredible businesswoman, a mama, and just someone who has such a unique story into entrepreneurship. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Success Beyond podcast. In this podcast, we embark on a journey of discovery and growth through candid and dynamic conversations with seasoned professionals in the creative industry. Our mission's clear: to provide you with the knowledge, tools, and inspiration you need to thrive in your creative endeavors. Whether you're an artist, designer, writer, or some other type of entrepreneur, Success Beyond is here to educate, empower, and inspire you every step of the way. Join us as we unlock your full potential and elevate your creative journey with insights and strategies shared in each episode. Welcome to a world where success knows no bounds. Welcome to Success Beyond. Thanks so much for joining on this episode of the Success Beyond podcast. I'm super stoked to introduce you to Nada. I had the incredible opportunity to meet her at a conference earlier this year, and she's also best friends with one of my favorite people in the world, Angelica Pompey, who's come on the podcast a couple of times. So, Nada, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. So tell us who you are, what you do, all of that fun stuff.
Awesome. So I am in Florida, first of all. So I'm a wedding photographer in Florida. I run a few businesses. So I have the wedding photography business. I have actually two of those. And I'm also an educator, something that I brought from my previous life, previous career into the photography and business world. And then a podcast host now too, starting that. One more journey to go through. And I'm also an app developer. Like, I launched an app last year. So lots of things going on in my world. And a mom of two little minions.
Aw, I love it. So tell me, like, how did you get started on this journey? You have such an incredible story, and I would love for you to share it with our audience.
Yes. So I'm originally from Brazil. I was born and raised in Brazil and moved here with a volleyball scholarship. So basically, I was in Brazil playing professional volleyball. That's what I did for a living. Somebody that came from to spend the summer back home with family came to practice with the team that I was playing for. So we were talking about, you know, the U.S. and opportunities and things like that. And I told her, like, I would love to be able to go study abroad and play volleyball. That'd be amazing. She connected me with a coach in Columbia, Kentucky. Back then, I didn't have a computer in my house. I didn't speak any English at all. So I had to go to my dad's work. He worked in the bank. So every day after work hours, I would go to the bank and look up in the dictionary, try to put a sentence together to talk to this coach. So I ended up sending an email back then when your mailbox will get full, your emails will start to like get bounced back. So yeah. One of the emails I sent got bounced back, and I was like, well, there's another email in this paper. It was like CC to somebody else on the email that she gave it to me. I didn't know what CC was. I had no idea. It was just another email. So I was like, let me just try that email. And that ended up in Arizona where she was playing. So the coach called her and said, you know, what is this email? Who's this girl? What is she talking about? So until today, I don't know what she said about me to him, but he wanted to keep talking and he asked if I had already signed with the other place and actually invited me. It gave me a full scholarship to play volleyball in Arizona. So wow. I ended up in the country because I sent the wrong email to the wrong person. So, you know, I played volleyball for 2 years in Arizona, transferred to Virginia, And then from there, kind of pursued a career in physical therapy. So that was my passion, was to work with people in the healthcare setting. And I did that for many, many years of my life. And then found myself in the photography world, which is another story. But just, you know, it was a time, a transition time in that job where I was kind of reassessing things and thinking, like, if I wasn't doing this for a living, what else would I be doing? And photography was one of the things that was always in the back of my mind, something I always loved and felt fascinated by, and decided, let me go learn how to use this camera and go see if I can make this a little side business. And here we are a few years later with multiple six figures. So
I love it. I love it. I think your story is so, I mean, it's serendipity is one of my favorite things to talk about, because I feel like we all have those moments that are, you know, serendipitous and end up changing the entire trajectory of our lives. So it reminds me of when I visited Kentucky. I was here for less than 48 hours. And the short version is I ended up getting a job while I was here. And moving to Kentucky from Florida for like a month later for no other reason than I wanted to get out of Florida.
Yes, there's a lot of little moments like that. I feel like definitely in my story where things could have gone so differently. Well, I'm always thankful for the opportunities and the people that I met along the way that kind of, you know, shaped my path to be what it is today. It's been fun and crazy and unpredictable, for sure, full of changes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's life though, right? Crazy, yeah. Fun, unpredictable.
The only constant is change.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, I've always been fascinated with app development. I've had a couple of friends, you know, I work in CRMs and I'm, you know, I've had friends or people on my team, they're like, we should develop, you know, something for as a CRM. I'm like, absolutely not. First of all, I am not a tech person. And second of all, like, I don't want to deal with the headache. So what was that like? Like, what spurred you to do it? How is the like tech side of things? What does all that look like?
Yeah, so it came out of a need that I had as a wedding photographer myself. So I always felt it was kind of inconvenient and difficult to have timelines in a paper format, that I had to be finding a pocket to put in or like finding a way to carry around. And, you know, we're talking pages and pages of timeline when you're looking at a planner's timeline, or just wasn't convenient for me. Or you maybe write some notes on that timeline and then you put it down in the bridal suite, and then now you've walked away and you're far away, and that paper with those notes are sitting somewhere to be found by a family member or friend who might read what you wrote in there. That maybe you wrote down a note for yourself that the parents don't get along very well, they're divorced,
right?
And they take pictures together, and that's important for you to know as a photographer, but that's not something other people need to be reading,
right?
So, you know, just little things like that. So it came out of the need of having something convenient. We obviously always have our phones on us. We use it to communicate back and forth with other vendors anyway. So why not have a timeline builder with a shot list that is housed in your phone for you to access at any point of the wedding when you need it? So that's kind of what created the idea for the app. And then just talking to people who have gone into the business of developing an app, you know, I had some meetings with a few people just to ask about the experience and the cost and things like that. And it was scary. Scary every time. It was discouraging. It was like, you know, it's a lot. It takes a lot of patience and it's going to take a lot more money than you think. And it's already expensive. We're talking starting point, like $50,000+. It is, you know, very, very expensive. So I was like, well, that's a great idea, but I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
So I'm putting down to start as a starting cost. Right.
Right.
So I just kind of sat with that idea for a while. And once my business is starting to do well and I had a little bit more of cash flow that I could potentially invest into something, I found some developers actually in Brazil, where I'm from.
Right.
I was like, well, I can speak the language. I can kind of be the middleman if needed. They can develop something for this market, but at a lower cost. Why not? Right. That advantage of being from another country. So that's kind of how I found a way to get into that market. And then had to go learn a whole new language of how to speak with developers, understanding timelines. And when I say understanding timelines, I mean understanding things are not going to get done when they said they're going to get done.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a reality in that kind of world. So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, and explaining your idea to somebody that is not in the profession is not something easy. Like, you have to kind of translate that concept and the functionality of everything. And then when you think is done, and then you start getting some feedback from other people, and then you realize, oh yeah, no, that's, you know, we need to change this, or we needed to make it more generalized, because your brain is used to thinking a certain way, and
right.
We might skip some steps that we think other people also skip, or we might not need that. And then I get some feedback, and I'm like, no, people definitely need that. I'm like, oh, okay. So then you go back to the developers and you change things. And then, you know, there's a few more weeks down the road. So we went through the process for a whole year. They had the basics done within a few months, like promised, but then we kept evolving and, you know, making sure that things were as good as they can be.
Right.
And then we officially launched on June of last year. It was kind of a soft launch. And then I had to start working with a marketing company specific to apps, which is a whole new story. I understand marketing and business strategy from a service standpoint, but when it comes to apps, again, whole new world. So it's doable. If you have a good idea, I think it's worth pursuing, but just know that it's going to be, you have to have some reserve, because cash is going to be flowing off your pocket sometimes, and having the patience and understanding that things cannot be sometimes as fast as you want it to be, or if you had this great idea, but it's just not something that can be done from a tax standpoint. So
interesting.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I think it's so neat that, like, you saw a gap in the market and you're like, I can fix it. And then, like, you know, obviously it took time and effort and, like, perseverance and that kind of thing. But now you have this incredible app. Is it pretty much, like, set now, or is that something that you update regularly? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think the good, like, bread and butter of the app are, it's done, is the structure is there. There's, I feel like I'm the kind of person that's always going to be making some improvements.
Mm-hmm.
The more I talk to people, the more I get feedback. If it's something that I feel like is going to be useful for the masses, it's definitely going to be something I'm going to look into. But it's out there now. It's called Timeline Pro. And it's built to serve both wedding photographers and wedding planners and event planners. So anybody that really have to build a timeline for an event, for the wedding day, can definitely use that. Very customizable. From a photography standpoint, you also have a shot list that's in there, that's built in for you, and it's going to be more customizable in the future. But, you know, just stuff that we all need, and it's going to be handy for all of us. And it also allows you to communicate with your client through the app and get feedback from your client, and can also share with other vendors that are going to be part of the team. So it just streamlines the communication a little bit, keeps it in one place, so you're not having to shift through hundreds of or dozens of emails, you know, to find out anything related to that. So I feel like it's very functional and customizable, which, you know, it's helpful when you have so many different players kind of using that kind of app.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. So how long have you been in, like, doing wedding photography?
So wedding photography has been about 5 or 6 years that has been part of my life. So.
Awesome. And you've been full time for a while now too, right?
Yeah, it's been a few years that I've been full time. Right after COVID, transitioned out of healthcare and into doing photography full time. So
awesome. So, what has shifting to, like, the educational side of things looked like? I mean, obviously, you have tons of business experience. So, what has that transition look like? Are you still taking weddings full time right now and you're still building that side? What do you coach on? All of that.
Yes. So part of my healthcare career was being an instructor, so coaching other physical therapists. And I also did some teaching at the university level for the doctorate program in physical therapy. So teaching is always something I love doing. I presented at conferences with hundreds of people. I published research papers. So I'm very much into learning. It's something that I feel like we all should be doing continuously at all times. So I was kind of missing that teaching part of my life a little bit. It's something that I feel like it helps me learn a lot more by teaching other people. First, I have to know really well what I'm teaching, but I'm also learning from the people that I'm teaching. So I was missing that kind of part of my life. So to me, it was a no-brainer to once I've established my business and I felt like I was doing really well, I can start sharing some of the strategies that I use to build the kind of business that I have and to be successful. So last year, starting the transition a little bit in a slow way, because I was really, really into all efforts into the app last year.
Right.
And then this year we'll transition much of my efforts into the education portion of things. So creating courses that are going to be more evergreen, but also some resources like guides and templates and things that we're just going to help streamline and make life easier, because it's all about time management, managing your priorities,
right,
and make sure that you can be efficient when you're doing things. At this time of my life, my time is more valuable than anything. So any way I can manage my time and make things a little bit faster and more efficient, it's a win for me. So I want to share that with other people too. So love one-on-one coaching. That's going to be one of my big goals this year, is to do more one-on-one coaching. Because I feel like everybody's business has individual kind of barriers that we have to go through, even though there's a lot of general concepts that we can use, but there's also a lot of very specific things to everybody's business that I feel like if you don't do some one-on-one coaching, it can be a little bit hard to overcome. And those are the steps that people get stuck on.
Right.
Like, it's just so individualized to their business. So love the one-on-one coaching aspect of things. And so that's what led to the transition to do a little bit more coaching and teaching. It's just bringing that back into my life. So
awesome. I love it. Are you ready to run your business rather than your business running you? Then you need HoneyBook. Streamline your processes, get paid even if you're not at your desk, have your form sent out without having to click a button, and get the information you need to provide your clients with an exceptional experience. I've been using HoneyBook for over 6 years in various businesses and recently switched my business completely over to HoneyBook from another CRM. And I could not be happier with the switch, with the team, and the various tools that are now at my fingertips. If this is a system that you want to look at, then I would love to offer you 50% off of your first year if you head to the link in our show notes. Thank you so much. And I hope you love HoneyBook as much as I do. So obviously you've had a lot of different transitions over the years. What are some of the hard lessons that you had to kind of learn through your years of experience?
Yeah. So I think a very basic generic thing would be to just understand that things are going to change throughout the process of anything that you're planning, and that the important thing is to focus on the end goal and just try to adapt to changes the best you can. So that, comes from being an athlete, being a wedding photographer, being in healthcare. Like, nothing is predictable there. You have to be adaptable. You have a general idea where you're trying to go and what is your final destination, but understanding that things are just going to change. Understanding that, especially if you're a parent, there's really not going to be balance. I think work-life balance is unrealistic for us. If you want to be really good at whatever you are doing, you're going to have to be 100% focused on that part of things when you're doing it. So when I'm a wedding photographer, or when I'm a coach, I'm really good at that, and I'm 100% focused on that. When I am a mom, I'm really good at that and I'm 100% focused on that. But I cannot do both of them at the same time really well. So just giving yourself some grace and forgiveness to understand that, yes, you can be good at things, but you're not going to be able to fill out your whole life with one versus the other, or both of them together, the same kind of balance, was something that was really helpful for me to kind of a mindset change to understand and embrace that and let go of that guilt that we have as parents or business owners and entrepreneurs that, you know, we have to be in both places at the same time and giving 100%. That just does not happen. So I think that was another big lesson. Investing in yourself and education and coaching early on in your career. Like, there's plenty of people out there that have made all the mistakes that you're probably going to make. So yeah. why not avoid making those and learning from those people so you can advance faster? So that was one of the ways that I was able to grow so fast. There's plenty of people that have been out there for way longer than I've had, but I was making 6 figures on year 2 during COVID. So, you know, making sure that you invest on learning from the people that really know what they're doing.
Right.
And you skip making all those mistakes yourself is a huge thing. So very, very important lesson there. And then just, again, understanding time, prioritizing things. I follow somebody that talks about, like, time management is not a real thing. We cannot manage time. Time, it is what it is. We all have 24 hours in a day, no matter how good or bad you are. But managing your priorities is what kind of helps us move along faster than other people. So, you know, understanding kind of like how to time block or use whatever strategy it is that works for you to prioritize things, and delegating is a huge one,
right?
You know that, you know, yeah. Making sure that people can delegate things that they don't need to be using their brain power on and focusing on the things that they do. So all of those things are things that I feel like kind of helped me grow a little bit faster than maybe the average person out there, because I kind of brought those lessons from previous careers. And just, I'm really good at watching other people make mistakes and not repeat them. So all about learning.
A very useful skill.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I think kind of going back to the balance thing. So I'm an advocate for balance, but it's not simultaneous. I think that's something that, like you were saying, you have to get out of the mindset that you have to do both simultaneously. I'm the worst work from home mom if my son is home. Like, the worst. He's fucking me 105 times every 30 seconds. And then, you know, I can't focus on anything. I get, like, my husband and I just got into a tiff the other day because I'm home. And it's about to, you know, we're looking at summer camps, and he's like, well, why can't he just stay home with you? I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like, you need to work with you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, so I do think you can have balance, but it is a matter of, like, when you're doing your thing, that's what you're focused on. And then when you are, you know, in the role of mom, partner, you know, whatever, you're 100% focused on that. And so I really like that you already gave permission to the audience that, like, balance does not need to be doing them simultaneously. Or even, you know, there's going to be times where balance is your focus. Like, I'm sure when you're launching the app, like, that had 60 or 70% of the energy, while the home has, you know, 30 to 40% of the energy. That's still a balance. It's just a matter of figuring out how to get the right support so that the areas of your life aren't neglected.
Exactly. Yeah. You can be giving yourself some grace and forgiveness and understanding and just doing your best, whatever you are focused on a specific thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Grace is huge. That's.
Yes.
Yeah. That's something that.
It's a habit. You got to create a habit of doing it.
Yes. Yeah. So how are some ways that you actively practice, like, giving yourself grace in times of business or motherhood or, you know, home management where things feel off the rails?
Yeah. So I'm really big on speaking kindly and positively to yourself, just like you would to maybe your child or somebody that you really respect. Like, so I, as soon as there's one little negative thing coming to my mind of like, I'm not doing a good job, or like, this wasn't good, like, I wish I would spend more time with my kids or anything like that, I'd immediately try to stop and think through the things that I've accomplished or the things that I've done for them. Like, we have a really nice place to live with a pool in the backyard that they love because of the work that I do.
Right.
Like, we would not be able to enjoy trips together and traveling to different countries together as a family and learning things. Like, I wouldn't have the opportunity to have that very amazing and memorable time with them if I didn't do the work that I do. So right. Like, take the time to stop and say, why are you really doing what you're doing? It's, there's nothing wrong with working hard. I work hard. I love working. It's almost like working self-care for me. I love doing it. I know it's not for everybody, but I can sit down and work for hours and I'm happy at the end of the day.
Right.
So remember at the end of the day, why are you doing that? And I teach my kids and I make them repeat back to me, make sure that we're on the same page. You know, when they were little, obviously they'll hear things like, oh, mommy, are you leaving? When I'm leaving on the weekends to take, take pictures to do a wedding. And, you know, that hurts your soul when you hear that from your kids. So,
right.
You know, we had conversations where I explained to them why, you know, daddy is at work Monday through Friday. Mommy's work is different days of the week. We have, you know, we work the same amount of time, just different days.
Right.
And because of mommy's work that we have these things. So now when I leave to go for a wedding, I get a high five from them and they're like, go get it, mommy. Go have a great wedding. So understand, having help that the person that's maybe helping you or making you feel that little guilt, helping them understand why you're doing what you're doing, helping them see would help you have a little bit more room to maybe give yourself some grace and be forgiven and be positive about what you're doing. So it's the mental practice of I'm constantly talking to myself that way and helping myself believe that I'm worthy of that time that I'm dedicating to this job, and I'm worthy of their love because I'm still a great mom. And it's just something you have to practice, just like learning how to run. Being positive and being kind to yourself is something you have to practice all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does not come naturally to anybody. We're very self-critical and very quick to put ourselves down. So I just cut it. I don't let it happen. If I'm starting to feel like that wasn't a good thing, I'm like, stop it. Move on to the next thing. Remember all the good things you've done and just keep on pushing.
I love it. Well, and I think it's important for sons, especially right now, to see that you have this incredible career and you have the support in your partner to do your incredible career. And like, I was having a conversation with actually my podcast manager, who is also a very dear friend. And we were talking about how women have gone from like, we can do everything a man can do, and we can, you know, be anything that a man can be, and that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. what didn't happen in this transition was educating men in, okay, how do you support your partner in the role that she wants to play in her own life? Mm-hmm. So now I feel like we're doing a lot of educating, and there's a lot of angst around this. If you get on like different social media apps or whatever, like,
yeah,
you can, there's so many videos where like, you know, you should leave him because he's not helping around the house, or, you know, he should see the same things you see or whatever. And it's just like, listen, we've been raised so differently. Like, now it's our job. Like, yeah, we can absolutely do the thing, but we also have to communicate with our partners and like help educate in, okay, this is how you can support me, or this is, you know, how I need you to take care of this, that, or the other. Yeah. And I think that's really important for sons to see. And so I love hearing that dynamic, and like, they get it now too.
Yep. That's a huge, huge important point. Like, that transition of the understanding of how things have changed to the newer generations. Like my daughters are so funny. They're like, my mom is a CEO of 5 companies.
Right.
Like, they're so proud and they're excited. They're like, I want to be a CEO, you know? So like, yep, trying to help them understand that they're, and we talked about like college degrees or not having a college degree. Like I have a doctorate degree that I don't use right now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, still some student loans to pay, but like, do we really have to go to college? There's like so many conversations that things have used to be ingrained in our minds of like, you got to go get a degree, or you have to do this, or, you know, just like as we transition into these new roles, helping the newer generation understand that too, definitely a huge, huge step. It's a huge obligation for us to get to do it, but like not forgetting to do that and helping that transition is going to make a huge difference when they are going through it themselves. So.
Yeah. I love the conversation about college too, because you've already mentioned like you should be constantly learning, but that does not mean you have to go to college or you have to go to university or you have to have a degree. So fun fact, I'm a 3-time college dropout. I do only have the student loans to show for it. And, you know, and it's one of those things that like when my husband and I were talking about what we want for our son, like if I'm going to put a fund together, like I want him to be able to use that fund for whatever. He wants to start a business, exactly. He wants to go to college, he wants to travel for a year, like go buy a house, like whatever you want to use that for, just go do something that's going to make you a better person in whatever that looks like for you. That's all I care about.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many ways to make a good living. And, you know, the other day we were talking about, I was asking my 7-year-old, we were talking about work and, you know, loving your work. And I asked, oh, money, because she's very money driven. She loves money. So she was talking, she was all saying, what if you have a job that you don't like, but you make a lot of money? Would you stay on that job? They gave you like a lot of money. Would you work that job? And she was like, like she was thinking for a while. It wasn't an immediate like, no.
Right.
But I don't like the job at all. I was like, no, you don't like the job at all. But you like the money. Like you get a lot of money. What would you do? She's like, well, you probably shouldn't do it if you don't like it, because then you're not going to be happy. Like,
right.
But it is a lot of money. So she was like very conflicted, which is, that's how, you know, at the end of the day, how a lot of us ended up in places and jobs that we might not have been loving, but we have to, even we have in our mind that like mindset of like, I have to do this because this is a good career, or like, I'm going to make money. So again, trying to have those conversations as early as possible and kind of teaching, I think it makes a huge difference down the road, and it helps you kind of reframe things and rethink what you're doing and make sure that what you're doing, you're setting the example of that you're doing something that you love.
Right.
And enjoying and also making money, or how important is the money versus the passion in that dynamic for you. So, you know, it's something that we all should be thinking about it more often.
Yeah. Well, they're such important conversations, and they're conversations that my husband and I have had, especially recently. You know, he got into a different position with the company he's at, and it gives us a lot more time at home now together. Like he's home nights and weekends where he wasn't the first 7 years of our marriage, 8 years, something like that. And now he has this opportunity to go back to the old schedule. And I'm just like, no, like it's just not worth it. It's not worth not having you home, or, you know, it's not worth having, frankly, our son to myself 5 days a week for 14 hours. No, thank you. You know, so I love that you're having these conversations with your kids and asking, you know, the important questions and showing them such an incredible example.
Trying. We're always trying.
Always trying. So what are some like tips or advice that you would share to someone who is, you know, let's say they're full-time in their creative business, whatever that business looks like, and they're just not sure like where to go next or how to maybe make more money or be happier in their role, what are some things that you would say to them?
Yeah, I think I would say probably good to get somebody from the outside look in and do help you do a good analysis of what you're doing and how you're running things. Because we are blinded to many, many things when we're running our businesses and we're doing our thing. There might be so many better ways or more efficient ways to do something that you just don't even know about. Yeah. So I think having somebody come and do like a consult for you where they can help you analyze things, make sure that your processes and procedures are efficient. I'm very much of the opinion that while you don't have all the business that you want, you should be building the structure for that big business in the future. So it's like that concept of not dress for the job that you have, dress for the job that you want.
Yeah.
They apply the same thing for your business on the structure side of things. So in the beginning of my career where I don't have people sending me inquiries all the time, I don't have clients, I'm spending my hours building a good CRM system that can accommodate hundreds of clients coming through every year. Because right. when I get to that point, I want to be ready to offer a great experience and to have a great like client experience and a good flow to how I'm going to deliver things. So are you focusing your time on the right portions of your business to be making money? A lot of us, and I feel like in the creative world, are really good at working in your business and on our business.
100%.
And, you know, forgetting to work on your business structure and making sure that you're putting, again, the importance of putting that time to where you're going to make the most money instead of just focusing on, you know, taking the pictures or planning the weddings or designing that website. Like, what are you building to help you capitalize on things three times more than you do when you're actually doing the thing, right? So I think having somebody come from the outside and help you analyze your business and get some actionable items of things that you can work on can be a huge help if you're feeling kind of stuck. Like, it's always good to get, I got mentored my entire life from a healthcare perspective and really understood the advantage of having somebody kind of looking over your shoulder, looking at what you're doing and saying, hey, this is great. And here are the things that you can make it better. And I think that's the only way to grow. It's to get that honest feedback from somebody that wants to help you grow and continue to evolve. Cause we are so blinded to what we don't know. We don't know. You just can't. You cannot figure it out. So that mentoring, that coaching is crucial for growth in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, like you said, we all have blind spots and it takes different mentors or coaches or even podcast episodes to kind of point out like, oh, I haven't even considered this aspect of business. So I love that. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I'm so grateful that you shared your story and some really awesome nuggets for our audience to take away. Where can our audience find you, hang out with you, learn more about your app, your business, your coaching, all of that?
All right. You guys better be ready because there's a lot coming your way.
And all the links will be in the show notes.
Yes. Photography business you can find us at NSPhotoBookWeddings. Photobook weddings. So NS Photobook Weddings. My education is at PhotoBiz Education. And the app you can find at Timeline Pro App. So you can just find us on Instagrams and in the links to our websites that are all in there. So just to make it easier for everybody.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nada. I appreciate your time and we will see everyone next time.
Thank you so much.
Well, that is all we have for this week. I am so grateful that you tuned in to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, I would love if you took a moment to subscribe or leave a review for our channel. That would mean the world to me. And you can always hang out with us over at the gram at successbeyond.co. Thanks, and we'll see you there.